Spirit Radio Podcasts.
So with the announcement yesterday that our lockdown is going to continue for April 5th, and after that we don't really know. It all depends on lots of different factors, the numbers, the amount of vaccines. But one of the things that has been talked about is the extension of various different government supports. So we'll be talking about that shortly. Also, are you an Ulster Bank customer, and what is the impact going to be on you if you hold an account there or a credit card or a mortgage? And what will the general impact on the mortgage impact be with the announcement that they're going to be pulling out of Ireland? Well, on the line to give us his thoughts and advice on these things, we have finance expert and author and presenter of the television programme How to Be Good with Money, Eoin McGee, on the line. Morning to you, Eoin.
Morning, Wendy.
So first of all, let's start with those kind of various different government supports that both businesses and individuals can avail of. They're going to be extended now.
Yeah, so the thing, the likes of CRSS, which companies can draw down up to 5,000 a week, you've got your PUP, your pandemic unemployment payment, your wage subsidy, all of these things, I suppose they've extended lockdowns, so they have to extend the support. And I think we need to just remember, Wendy, what's going on here. The reality is that government are forcing businesses to close for the greater good of the entire population. And when they are asking businesses to close, they have to step up and say, okay, we're going to support you. Now, the reason why they have to step up and the reason why they're willing and are actually putting all this money into these companies that are closed is that those companies still exist when all of this is over. Because it would be much harder on the economy long term and on the public purse long term if these businesses failed and we were in an awful place when this pandemic is over. So it's trying to keep businesses afloat, trying to just keep them ticking over enough, covering whatever costs they have to cover, so that they can open up again and they still have their connection to their employees through the likes of wage subsidy, and they still have their electricity bill or whatever else has to be paid while these things are being closed, that those things are still being covered. So yes, if they're going to extend lockdown, they have to extend the support, because we've got this far in. There's no point in stopping it now.
I know, and we probably never would have thought when they were initially announced just a little past this time last year that they would have to be continuing on for more than a year. But where is the money coming from, and what's the long-term impact of that going to be economically in terms of all the borrowing?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things. First of all, when this first started, we expected it to cost us $30 billion, and that's how much money was going to go into it. It was around, I think it was $18 or $20 billion is what it cost in the end. The money is coming from Europe. We're borrowing it. We're borrowing money at very, very cheap interest rates, which is great. And Europe has put specific support in for countries in this circumstance. Interestingly enough, people will argue, look, the money is so cheap right now. Why don't we borrow loads and loads and loads? The reality is that what happens when governments borrow money is they don't pay back any of the capital as we go year to year. At the end of 10 years, typically 10 years, they pay it all back in one lump. But most of the time, we don't, and I'm talking about 99% of the time, we don't actually pay it back. We just borrow more money to pay off the old loan. So it's great that we can borrow money right now really cheap. But the minister does have to be mindful of how much will it cost us in 10 years to take out a new loan to clear off this loan. And what will the interest rates be at that stage? So they do have to be mindful. They can't just recklessly borrow. And I don't believe they are. I think the money is being used in a good way. And the money that we're borrowing is cheap right now. And it does mean we will have a better, stronger economy when all this is over.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear the positive side of it, Eoin. Okay, so tell us a little bit about Ulster Bank's withdrawal. It's something that there was kind of whispers of going on for a while. But how is it going to take place? What's it going to look like?
So they are going. We know they're going. But the first thing to say to everybody is, don't panic here. Like, it is business as usual. Ulster Bank are still processing mortgage applications. They're still, your bank, your ATM card will still go into the machine and take money out. Your credit card bill is still going to come at the end of this month. It is business as usual. And these things tend to take a long time. Like 2013, Danske Bank announced in Ireland, they were the last biggest one, announced that they were pulling out of Ireland. They started the process in 2014. They're still here. Now, they have a small bit of business still here, but they're still here. They still haven't managed to fully withdraw from Ireland, and there's still straggling pieces of business lying around within Danske. And there's still employees in Danske. Now, there's not that many, but they're still there. So this process will take a very long time. The other thing to say is the 2,800 employees, they've been told their job is not done this year. They'll still be here for the rest of the year. They'll still be working away. So that's another positive. But there's a lot of talk around particularly permanent TSB and buying up a whole pile of the mortgage business, taking on some of the deposits, taking on some of the commercial loans, the business loans. And actually, I saw in today's paper, that they're talking about taking the branches as well, which is very, very unusual, I think.
Yeah, well, that means there might be staff retained then, if that's the case.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. And the staff, it is part of the deal, because what permanent TSB, if you think about it, permanent TSB, banking in Ireland in particular, is quite difficult to make money from. And that's what NatWest, that's why they pulled out of Ulster Bank. They pulled out Ulster Bank out of here. NatWest is the parent company of Ulster Bank. And they've said, we could allocate the same money to another jurisdiction and make more of it. So they would make better profits in another jurisdiction. So it wasn't making sense. So it does, like, if you think about it, permanent TSB, I think, have 77 branches and Ulster Bank have 88. So when you just look at it just in the size of the branches alone, they'd be doubling the size of their footprint or their foothold in the country. Now, will all those branches survive? Probably not, because you can't have two in the same town. But there will be, there's economies of scale there that can work better for a bank if all of a sudden they're just a much larger entity. And that's where permanent TSB, I'm sure, are looking at it, saying, yeah, well, if we do this, we get a bigger mass market, we have more customers, we have more lending, we have a whole pile of other things that will just make it more efficient for the business to run. And that is good for staff.
What does it mean, Owen, for just the individuals, especially those who have a mortgage, who might be thinking, okay, what do I do? Do I go looking for a new provider? How does it all work? And do they? And let's say you're lucky enough to have something like a tracker mortgage. Will you keep that if a new bank takes over or a vulture fund takes over loads of the mortgages?
Your terms and conditions will go with you. So whatever terms and conditions you have right now, they will move over and they will stick with you. So tracker mortgage, don't do a single thing, right? Definitely don't do anything. Just stay where you are, hang tight. And what the reality is that if you paid your mortgage on a month-to-month basis up to now and you continue to do it from here on in, you will be abiding by the terms and conditions of your mortgage. Now, when you think about it, once you jump in, if somebody, whether it's a vulture fund or another bank or wherever it is, once you jump into bed with them, the terms and conditions you've always had will remain, stay with you. So if you just keep sticking to the terms and conditions, they can't change anything on you. The only customers that I'd have any concern, and this is a real kind of one-legged Eskimo type story. This is a real kind of out there, this might or might not happen, right? So don't panic when I say this. The only customers I'd have any concern over or any niggle of a concern over would be variable rate mortgage holders. So if you are not on a tracker, you're on a variable rate, you're not fixed, my concern there would be twofold. One is you're on a variable rate. So the new bank is, the difference between a tracker rate and a variable rate is a tracker rate tracks the European Central Bank rate. The bank is not allowed to move it up and down unless the European Central Bank rate moves up and down. So it's completely removed. The decision to move your rate up or down is completely removed from the bank. A variable rate is the opposite. It can move up and down at the bank's discretion. So they can just decide we're moving up the variable rate or we're moving down the variable rate. Now, if you think about the long-winded story I'm telling you now, if you're a variable rate customer and you end up in a vulture fund, a vulture fund is a little bit like going out for a meal in a restaurant and you sit down and you realize that this is the last meal this restaurant is ever serving. They have no interest in getting any more new customers. This is just, so the service mightn't be great, the food mightn't be great, because they're not interested in attracting in new customers. So if you think about it, if you're on a variable rate and you end up in a vulture fund, then you will be in a position where they can move up the variable rate or move it down. Now, I do think legislation needs to be looked at and regulation needs to be looked at on vulture funds. But that's my very, very out there concern, and it's the likelihood of it happening. The other thing just to remember here, Wendy, typically performing loans, and what I mean by performing loans, if you pay your mortgage on a month-to-month basis or you pay your loan on a month-to-month basis, you're a performing loan. Banks are generally happy to buy that stuff up. It's non-performing loans that generally end up in vulture funds. So they're the ones that nobody else wants, and the vulture funds just look at it. They come in, they pay very little money to buy the book of business off you, and then they try and sweat the asset, is what they call it. They try and get as much money in on these non-performing loans as they possibly can to recoup their money. So it's a very, like, actually after giving it too much time there, because it's a very out there concern, but I wouldn't be concerned. If you're a mortgage tracker holder, sit tight. If you're a variable rate holder, you might want to fix. That might be something that's useful to you now that you can go and fix with Ulster Bank, or you can look around and see what else is. Have a look at ccpc.ie. It's a great website, and it compares all the mortgage rates that are available on the market. You can still switch at the moment if you want to. If you're really concerned, you can. If you've got money sitting in a bank account with them, don't worry about it. Like,
how much notice will you be given? It's not, they're not just going to kind of close the shutters and, you know, you're all trying to rush to close out your accounts. I presume there'll be a lot of notice given on those type of accounts and credit cards and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely, Wendy. Like, once this starts to come through, and remember, this is going to be a very, very slow burner, and things will happen slowly, and they will give you notice about anything that's going to happen. And, like, to be honest with you, bank accounts and savings accounts aren't very attractive to other banks, like, because it costs them money a lot of the time to hold it for you, and interest rates are so low, but they are something that will be protected. And worst case scenario, like, again, very far out there, but worst case scenario is you've got €100,000 government guarantee on money that's sitting in bank accounts in Ireland. So therefore, if something dramatic happened, the first 100,000 would be covered by the thing. That we are miles away from that. Like, that's Ulster Bank are being very prudent. And Ulster Bank are not a restaurant that are closed. Ulster Bank have an international reputation to protect here with NatWest. If they did something that wasn't very, if it wasn't very ethical, or if they did something that was just viewed from the international markets as completely wrong, that will damage their reputation in all the other countries that they're still in. So they have a reputation to protect. They're not the restaurant that's closed. And I do think it's important that people realise there's no real concerns here. Genuinely, it's business as usual for the moment. It's going to continue to be for quite some time. It really looks like AIB, Permanent TSB, are going to come in here and buy up most of the assets, most of the deposit accounts, mortgage accounts, commercial loans, all that stuff. Where you might end up is if you're someone who has struggled with your loans in the past and you end up where nobody, you're not attractive to anybody, that some vulture fund ends up coming in and having it. However, the CEO of Ulster Bank has said, and has been on the record, their preference is to sell to an ordinary mainstream bank here.
That's what they're looking to do. So that's good news. And thanks, as always, for your thoughts on Ulster Bank and indeed the extension of government subsidies. We shall chat to you again soon. That's financial advisor Eoin McGee and author of a book called How to Be Good with Money and also presenter of the television programme with the same name. The website, by the way, that Eoin mentioned there for comparing all the different mortgage rates is ccpc.ie. Spirit. I don't know about you, but one of the things that helped me get through 2020 was thinking, you know what, things are going to be better and things are going to be better in 2021. And now you might be feeling, especially with the government's announcement yesterday that we're going to be in lockdown until at least April 5th, and they can't really give us answers yet as to what's going to happen in the summer. Will we even be able to have a staycation? And some of your children might, for example, not be going back to school until after the Easter holidays. But you had this expectation that was keeping you going, that was giving you hope, and now it's changed. So how do we reset our expectations and keep hope alive even when things change, and especially when they get harder than we could have imagined? That's what we're talking about with our prayer coach this morning, Pastor Solomon Araboto of the Christian Community Church in Arklow. It's good to have Pastor Solomon with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Wendy. How are you today? It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, you're always somebody who sounds like you're smiling, Pastor Solomon. So how do you do it? How have you been doing?
Oh, it's been challenging. We are living in challenging times and different times. However, God is good. One of the things I do is, you see, never lose your attitude of gratitude. Never lose your attitude of gratitude, because your attitude determines your altitude. So as long as you keep your attitude of gratitude, you will be able to go through tough times. As a wise man said, tough times never last, but tough people do. And the toughness in us, one of the ingredients for you to be tough is for you to have an attitude of gratitude. Look around you. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you have. I wake up in the morning, I look at my kids, I look at my wife, I look at my neighborhood, I look at the fact that I can stand on my 2 feet. I just say, you know what? It's not the way I would like it to be, but thank God I have things to thank him for.
What do you do, Pastor Solomon? Let's say someone goes, yeah, no, I try to do that, and take in the little things. I love hearing the birds singing at this time of year, for example. But what do you say to someone who says, I'm trying, but I don't feel grateful. I'm thinking about it, but I don't feel it. When the kind of just sadness weighs so heavily on you.
Oh, yes. Those days come to everybody. But if you're feeling helpless, help somebody else. If you're feeling alone, don't ignore another person's loneliness. If you are afraid, Be brave for somebody else. You see, things feel more doable if they're not about us.
Yeah, it's and we go outside of ourselves almost.
Yes, yes, because sometimes when you keep thinking of what is not work, look at my life, I've tried everything. I mean, it's not that I've done anything wrong, but things are just going wrong. I mean, we're doing everything, and one thing I begin to do is what I did as a personal, myself and my wife, we began to call the old people in our community and in our church. We began to get them groceries. We get them ampers from the church. We got them ampers. Last week, we got all the senior citizens in our church ampers. Not because of anything, but we just want to, you know what? Stop thinking about yourself for a little bit. We went around, drop hampers for them. We tell them we're thinking about you. We love you. We're thinking about you. We look for some young people. We bought some chocolates. You know, so because at the end of the day, you see, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. This is not the end of it all. This is a transition. We're going to get out of this and we're going to smile again. The sun will shine again. We're going to dance again. After the winter, there is always spring. And after spring, there's always summer. It's very, very important that we know that things are not, but ability to look and project into the future and look at the future optimistically helps us to be able to say, you know what? Things are going to think of all those times that things have been hard, things have been tough, and it's as though we have come to the end of the road. Let's think about how we're able to come out through the grace of God, through the help of somebody, through one phone call. Somebody just called you and that phone call changed things. Or somebody came and gave you a helping hand. It's very, very important. There is a possibility of us looking at ourselves and getting, sat in a pity party and looking at our life as pitiable, as terrible, as, you know, there are even some countries in the world where they don't even have the solution. They don't have the access to this vaccine that we're having access to.
And we might be taking the simple things for granted. What about Pastor Solomon? Okay, practicing gratitude. I love that phrase, attitude of gratitude. But what about, can we actually put our hope in the wrong things? You know, that it's, say we think, I'll just feel better when I can get to Spain for 2 weeks or whatever it is, but that you can put your hope in something that mightn't actually bring you happiness.
I like that. I like that. I like to be in Spain myself or Italy or somewhere. But the point there is that one of the things I do is when all these things are, it's like the walls are tumbling down, you know, I put my hope in the Lord. One of the things that David said when he was going through a tough time, in, I think in Psalm 61, he said, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed and fainting, lead me to the rock that is higher than myself. When my heart is overwhelmed, that is, everybody's overwhelmed at this stage. People are fainting, their heart is fainting. But he said, I'll cry out to you. He said, from the pit, I'm going to cry. From the miracle, I will cry to you. One thing I do every day now is I value the fact that I know I have the tool of prayer. Someone said, but I don't know how to pray. You just didn't say, God, help me. You made me your image and likeness. Help me. Help me through today. Help me through this week. Help me through this season. I pray. If somebody is listening today, you are not into God. You're not into religion. You know, look, I'm not telling you. All I'm telling you is the tools I use. I wake up in the morning with an attitude of gratitude. I sit up and I say, Lord, I thank you for the sleep. I thank you for another day. Lord, I need your help today. Help me. As simple as that. In the course of my day, I look for somebody to help. I look for a phone call or a text. This morning, I text about 200 people to tell them, we're going to be speaking on Spirit Radio today on how to keep hope alive in difficult times. If that's all I can do to help somebody today, I've pointed them in the right direction. Go to Spirit Radio. You'll get hope there.
Yeah, and that's
small it may be.
It's a good point, Pastor Solomon. It's like, what are you listening to? What are you watching? You know, I think that it's a good rule of thumb to, for example, have time where you have COVID-free media, where you're not reading the headlines and the stories, and you just say, I'm going to listen to uplifting music or whatever it may be. What about, okay, so practicing gratitude, doing things for other people. Is there other things you'd recommend? Reliable things that we can say we can put our hope in? Obviously, calling, asking asking God for help, even as you say, someone who mightn't have done the prayer thing, just say, do you know what, God, help me, I am struggling.
I think one of the best things you can do to yourself, the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manner. Get people that can lift your spirit. I have friends that I know that whenever I call them, they are going to lift my spirit. They are going to encourage me, because no matter what. You need to be selective in your communication, in your relationship and friendship right now. I'm not saying you should abandon those friends that are in trouble. But there are some people that just bust your bubble. There are some people that they bring the heart to your calamity. So look for people that will lift you up. Look for people. For example, now, Spirit Radio is always there. And they tell you specifically they are into positivity. So go and get some positivity on Spirit Radio. Get friends and family. Count your blessings. Look at those areas. One thing you should do is make sure you read motivational things. You can't just be listening to how many people have died again. When it's going to be my turn? When it's going to be the turn of my kids? No, no, no. That's not the way to go. You need to be, you know, be intentional. Be intentional about what you listen to, who you listen to, what you do. Have that. Put some steps in place. There are certain steps I will always recommend for people. Number one, is this thing lovely? Is it positive? Is it encouraging? Will it have a positive impact on me emotionally, mentally? Does it paint the right picture or the future that I want? If it doesn't pass those tests, I'm not going to engage in it. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is virtue, if there is praise in it, is it think on these things? Is it lovely? Is it positive? Is it uplifting? Is it encouraging? If it doesn't pass those tests, don't engage in it. There's enough problem in the world. Don't multiply the issue. You know, that is what I do. So that's what I use as my acid test.
Yeah, you're asking those questions is a good start. What about just finally to ask you, Pastor Solomon, say for people listening going, yeah, I have that person that encourages me or uplifts me, but guess what? They live more than 5K away. I can't see them. I can't spend time with them. You know, that person that might support or encourage you, it's hard to get it when we can't physically be together.
That is true. You know, one thing I do, I go for a walk now. I enjoy going for a walk, and when I'm going for a walk, I listen to music. Then I look around again. You know, if I took this side of the road today, I jump to the other side of the road tomorrow. So I have another view of the street. I have another view of the area. I walk to the beach to see what's going on there. I just walk around. There's something about just take a deep breath. I woke up this morning. I say, look, I'm going to slow you down. Simplify your life. Simplify your life. You know, instead of eating, rushing the food, chew it a little bit more. Instead of drinking so fast, take the cup of tea, relax, take it easy. Instead of doing everything quickly, slow down. Look around again. Take in a fresh breath and relax.
I like that.
Take it easy.
I'm feeling chilled out now.
it's very, very important. Look at yourself in the mirror and appreciate yourself. I'm created in the image and likeness of God. Talk to the person in the mirror. Look at your wife. Look at her in a... So we don't have time to look at each other again, if you observe that. We don't look at each other anymore. We're too busy because we're all running. Look at your children in the face. Look at your spouse in the face. Hold hands together again. Do all those things. I'm telling you, you will stay grounded. And then don't forget, a life without Christ is full of crisis. Turn your eyes unto Jesus.
I can't think of a better way to finish on that, Pastor Solomon. Thank you so much. Some really good advice for us today. That's Solomon Arabota, the pastor at Christian Community Church in Arklow. Spirit. So my next guest is one of Ireland's opera stars who is used to performing on the world's most notable stages and, of course, with a huge audience. And, of course, one of the things that is so important during this pandemic is how do we keep the arts alive and also even just the joy that music can bring us in a time like this? Well, she has a special series of online concerts coming up that hopefully will do that, will lift our spirits. On the line to tell us all, we have soprano Claudia Boyle. Claudia, morning to you.
Morning, Wendy. Hi, nice to meet you.
It's great to have you with us, Claudia. So just tell us a little bit about some of the opera stages throughout the world that you have been blessed enough to perform on.
Yeah, I've actually been really lucky, I suppose, in my job. I mean, it's great to have a job that you love doing. It doesn't really feel like a job, you know. Most recently, I've made my debut in Covent Garden, and that was actually just before everything hit, which was a shame. You know, you kind of spend your career kind of working up to a moment like that.
And that was like a career high for you.
Just stopped. Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, things, places like Covent Garden or the Met, I mean, those would be the kind of top rung. So every singer kind of works towards that, you know. Unfortunately, that was just literally just then everything started hitting. But I mean, it was great because I actually did get to do it. So it was just brought me to the end of February. And then in March, obviously, things started hitting off. I was in Antwerp at the time in Belgium, and I was doing a series of concerts there. And I managed to get one concert done, but then, you know, everything was cancelled and I had to get a really early flight home. And yeah, but listen, like everybody else, everybody's suffering, you know.
I know, you must though, when you think of some of the places you've been, Claudia, Tokyo, Sao Paulo, all over the world, really. Yeah. Do you find yourself just getting a little bit nostalgic about it all?
Yeah, I do. And like you really crave it. I mean, it's so true. Like you miss what you don't have. I mean, that is just so true. And it certainly makes you appreciate everything much more. But yeah, I'm craving. I mean, I'll be honest, the travel aspect of the job, it's great that you get to go to wonderful places and, you know, visit new cultures and everything like that. But, you know, it still keeps you away from home. So it's kind of, you know, there are pros and
it's bittersweet in that way. Yeah.
It is, definitely, yeah. But I miss being on the stage and I miss performing to a live audience. And everybody's trying their best. As you mentioned earlier, I'm doing a series of live concerts. So everybody's trying to find ways to fill that gap. I mean, I don't know if it necessarily, you know, is a replacement for the real thing, but it's certainly great to have in the meantime. And then going forward as well, I mean, we've gotten great reactions from people. Vladimir Yablokov, who's actually set this up as well, he's a wonderful violinist. He was telling me the other day he performed for people in Australia. So I mean that probably might never have happened if not for this situation as well. So it's certainly a way of opening up performing to different people or people who just can't make it to where you are. So yeah, it's an exciting venture.
Yeah, and actually it's interesting you should say that, Claudia, because you know, thinking of lots of different genres of the arts where people, as you say, for whatever reason they mightn't physically be able to go into a theatre in the future, or like you say, living on the other side of the world, but say, I love Claudia Boyle and I want to see her performing on an Irish stage or whatever the case may be. But
yeah, exactly,
I'm
yeah.
sure that this concert is going to keep, in the series of concerts, is going to keep you focused. But how else as a performer, especially when so much, I imagine, of your energy and your drive comes from getting that feedback from the audience, how do you kind of keep yourself focused?
Oh God, making bread, making sourdough, like everybody else, banana bread. But no, I try and keep up the practice. I mean, there was a stage there. I think like everybody else, Wendy, like in March, April and May, I took a little break from it, to be honest. You know, it was just to get headspace to kind of, you know, adapt to what was going on. Again, yeah, I did a lot of baking like everyone else, a lot of walking with my dog within the 5K and all that kind of thing. But then, yeah, slowly then I just started saying, God, I need focus again. So yeah, just practicing and giving myself little goals. And then, yeah, it's some virtual concerts did come in, and I did some recording work as well with RTÉ and that kind of thing. So, and then Irish National Opera did a great series of online operas as well. So I mean, without that, yeah, it would have been hard to find focus, because I'm certainly project based. If I have a project, I'll work towards it, and I would find it hard to kind of, you know, just keep the momentum and focus when I don't have a goal. So yeah, it's great that these things are coming in.
Yeah, and what about, have you heard anything or have there been updates, Claudia, from different opera houses or productions saying, here's when we think performances might be back?
Yeah, I mean, it's really varied. For instance, only the day before yesterday, I got an offer to do a recording and little interview in Berlin, but with the quarantine. I mean, it was 2 days work, but it meant 4 weeks of quarantine. So again, like that work was available, but I had to weigh up, would I do 4 weeks quarantine to do 2 days work? And it's not really viable at the moment. So, you know, it is, based on whether you can make it, what are the conditions and all that. But I mean, it's creeping back in. There are some places in Germany, there are some opera houses that are doing performances but to less than half. I don't know how viable that is really, but I mean, you know, they are still doing it for the time being. The Met is fully closed, but they are doing a lot of virtual concerts. So is Covent Garden as well. So, you know, everybody's just trying as hard as they can. I know English National Opera did an opera in the summer, and it was a drive-through opera, so it was an outdoor opera that people could actually drive to and see, like very old-fashioned, but apparently it was great. So I think people are just trying to be as inventive as possible.
Yeah,
now
I remember it was many years ago, I remember Ciarán Tacanua was singing, I think it was outdoors in Luttrellstown Castle in Dublin. So
Oh, lovely. We've
done it before, we can do it again, that's for sure. Well, tell us a little bit about the live stream, and I'm especially thinking, Claudia, just I thought it was lovely just how you mentioned of, you know, people being able to kind of log on and watch you that mightn't be able to do it, but also for people who maybe they've never gone to an opera concert before, they think maybe it is my thing, and here's a way for me to kind of test it out, and it might be
exactly.
Opening up a whole new world for somebody. What can you expect from an opera concert, especially for someone who's never seen one before?
Yeah, I mean, listen, don't be afraid of it, certainly. But like, I mean, I would say it's you know, there's a small proportion maybe where it's not for them. But in general, people who are open to it and try it tend to love it. So I would say just give it a go. Certainly these concerts that we're actually doing, and the great thing about them is they're really intimate and they're really personal. So this concert is just for you. It's not going to be just a mainstreamed concert where, you know, thousands of people can hear it. This is just for you, this concert. So it's very personalised. You'll get a list of music that you get to actually choose the music as well. And then you do know that the performers are performing just for you. So it'll be a very personal feel to it as well. And I think it's a lovely way to introduce yourself to opera. And certainly then with Vladimir on the violin, he has such a range of music. I mean, he does such wonderful classical music, but then crossover as well. So you will definitely find something that appeals to you.
I love the idea.
Concerts.
It's so unique, Claudia, that it's as you say, it's playing for just you and your guests. And it's private, it's live, but it sounds like a great idea for the celebrations that can't happen, you know, the birthdays, the anniversaries, that you can invite people on Zoom and they have a private concert with you.
Yeah, I think it's a lovely idea. I mean, for extended family and friends, there are packages. You can go onto the website, yourconcertgate.com, and you'll see there are various packages. You can share the concert with up to 10 households in one, and then it goes right up to 30 households. So you can have a lot of friends and family and then connecting with them. But then the concert is still just for all of you. There is nobody outside the concert that can watch it. You have control of who sees it. And so I think it's a great idea. I think moving forward, even when, you know, venues do open up, I think it's an idea that will stay, because it's just getting so popular now. People are really responding to it and they're enjoying it so much. And especially that personal feel, I think it really gives it a really unique touch.
Yeah, I think people, I know myself, I'm sure listeners are thinking of loved ones in different countries that we haven't been able to be with, and to be able to share
Absolutely.
Something personal like this would be lovely.
Yeah.
Finally, just to ask you, Claudia, I think in general, opera is becoming just more accessible, because for a time it was kind of seen as more of, I don't know, like an elitist type of music to attend.
Oh,
but
yeah.
is it now kind of more accessible to everybody, do you think, in your experience?
I think so. I mean, I think there always has been that kind of elitist, you know, thought about it. And certainly, yeah, I mean, certainly in days gone by, you know, opera tickets could have been really expensive. Now, they still are, but theatres are making, you know, really, really big efforts to bring down the price of opera tickets. I mean, certainly I know that a lot of theatres in the UK, for instance, do, you know, what they call an opera virgins night free, where you can go along and get cheaper tickets, and they give you a tour, they give you a tour of the stage, you get to meet the singers. And then I think, again, like with things like this, with the personal feel, and connecting with your audience, with social media and all, you can talk to opera singers and you can engage with them much more. So I think it is definitely getting more accessible, and it's something that I'm just so passionate about. I mean, I love working, for instance, I love doing opera workshops with children, and you know, they're just dying to know what it's all about, and they're so amazed when you sing a note, and it's lovely to kind of to get, you know, an audience that's a little bit younger and introduce them to it younger. So it's not such a strange thing when you get older. But yeah, I think definitely it is becoming more and more accessible.
Which is great. So, yeah. Well, Claudia, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It sounds like you're going to have a great time with some of these private Zoom concerts.
And, yeah, I can't wait.
But hopefully we can look forward to a future where we'll see you live on the stage as well. Thanks for joining us on the programme today. That's soprano Claudia Boyle. If you want to find out how you can get involved in these private online interactive concerts with renowned violinist Vladimir Jakovlov, you can go to the website yourconcertgate.com. It's such a cool idea. And you can get a concert for you and you, basically your friends and family, a private concert for you. Yourconcertgate.com is where you'll get all the details.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.